It's a good morning and welcome to The Value of Praise right here on the Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. The name is Thamsa Ogachuma, and as promised, we will be talking about pornography, and our guest is in studio this morning, Rodney Chivovo. But before we talk to Rodney, let's just take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking porn.
You're listening to Valley of Praise on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Welcome back to the
Valley. You're listening to Valley of Praise on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Welcome back to the Valley of Praise. The name is Thamsa Ogachuma, and in-house we have got Rodney. Good morning to you, Rodney.
Good morning, Tammy. How are you doing?
I'm fine, and how are you?
Awesome. I'm good, thanks.
So, Rodney, I was looking at a website called The Banner Group, and these guys do research within the Christian fraternity. And they say about 68% of church-going men consume pornography. Is that a true statement?
I think it is very true. If you look at the expansion of the pornography industry, it is safe to say that the church is not spared from its scourge. And I believe that we will be doing ourselves a disservice if we function on the assumption that we are safe.
Right.
I really believe that that should be accurate, and if not worse at all.
And maybe you've got a bit of some statistics before we get to the definition of what porn is all about, because maybe before we get into the statistics, is it an easy topic to discuss within the church circles?
I think it is one of the most difficult issues that we will ever talk about. People are generally uncomfortable to delve into it because it is generally viewed both in the church and in the world as something that is shameful. That is one of the reasons why not everyone, even the people who consume porn, will not do it publicly.
It's
something that they do privately. And very few people who raise up their hands and say, I consume porn, because it's not a good thing, generally, as society views it. So for that reason, even talking about it in the church becomes a difficult issue. And also the fact that you are talking about sex, it somewhat a taboo in the church. We talk about, we speak about it in connotations and not addressing the issue head on. So for that reason, many people who are engaged in it, many people who are suffering from it, will not get help, because there's no clear path to where do I go if I need help around this issue.
And I think you've hit the nail on the head. The shameful aspect is, even if a person wants to come forward and get help, there's the sense of shame, and there's the sense of almost judgment.
Exactly.
And this makes it difficult. And I've always wondered, why don't we have a ministry that actually focuses on porn? You know, because I think it's actually exploded.
Yes. Very true. You know what? I really agree with that. And contrary to what we believe, we also assume that the younger generations, our teens, maybe early 20s, are the ones who struggle with it. But you will discover, if we are to be honest with ourselves, that even people who are married are struggling with it. Because remember, it's something that people pick up in their youth, and they grow with it. And some do not even manage to wean it off as they grow older. So people can be married and still be ardent viewers of pornography, and it affects their relationships. It affects the way that they function generally. And because it was not addressed when they were younger, they still have it in their adulthood. And like you have said, there's no place where they can get help within the church.
Quite interesting. And maybe let's jump into the stats. What do the stats tell us, the research that you've done?
So maybe off the bat, let me just say, I'm not an expert in this, right? So because of that, I use information that's publicly available from people who have done research over the years. One of the websites that I have seen and gone through and realized that their information is quite credible is one called Covenant Eyes. Mm-hmm. They are in a way waging war against pornography, and they try by all means to bring to the people's attention its effects and how rampant it is within our society. Mm-hmm. So we're going to use predominantly statistics that are from the United States of America, and some of them are global. Mm-hmm. One thing that I would like to point out is that I know many people might be uneasy about the idea that we're using statistics that are American, but also research shows that if, for argument's sake, they say 78% of people do this, 78% of consumers are male. Mm-hmm. If you extrapolate that to any other country,
yeah,
the only thing that might differ, that will differ rather, is the head count because of the disparities in population.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, the consumptions are pretty much the same across the board.
Yeah.
And you will discover that when we talk about pornography, mm-hmm, there is an underlying pattern where men are the most consumers.
Yes.
And surprisingly, the consumption from women is also on the rise, especially, yes, with the younger generation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we're going to use one called Covenant Eyes, as I've said. There's one that is now defunct that I have explored before called Stop Pornography Culture.
Mm-hmm.
They have intriguing statistics, and some of the statistics are fairly old,
mm-hmm,
but still they show you that this thing is so bad.
Yeah.
It's extremely bad.
Mm-hmm.
And one might also inquire, like, why would we maybe raise it as an alarm for South Africa, and yet you're comparing it among big countries like the United States, which is vast in population.
Mm.
But it is sad to say that according to one of the biggest pornography websites, South Africa was in 2018,
mm-hmm,
ranked amongst the top consumers of pornography.
Okay.
So it was ranked at number 20. I think in 2022, it then dropped to, I think, 24.
Mm-hmm.
But already, when you consider the consumption, just to show you how bad it is, there are countries like China,
mm-hmm,
which has probably 20 times the population of South Africa. It does not rank among the top 20.
Mm-hmm.
There are many other countries like Nigeria and many African countries especially, which have a huge population, much, much greater than South Africa.
Yeah.
But they did not make it in the top 20. And yet South Africa, with a population of around, 50, 60 million,
mm-hmm,
is already being recorded among the top 20 consumers.
Well, the argument would be that China is a closed society, so the statistics may not just be coming out. But anyway, let's continue.
All right. Yes. So just to give you an idea of what we're dealing with,
mm-hmm,
As early as 2006,
mm-hmm,
according to Stop Porn Culture,
right,
there were pretty much 68 million,
mm-hmm,
daily searches for pornography.
68 million.
68 million. That's, mm, around the world.
Mm.
So these are people who are actively seeking out pornography,
mm-hmm,
on a daily basis.
Okay.
So that's around the world.
Mm.
Then you're looking at 13%.
Mm-hmm.
Of all global searches, 13% of all global searches as early as 2010, mm-hmm, were for sexual content.
Mm.
And listen to this. This is intriguing and fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
One popular site was receiving 1.6 million searches per hour.
1.6 million searches per hour.
1.6 million.
And that was when?
That's as early as 2010.
Okay.
So you can only imagine how bad it should be now.
Now, yeah.
With the access to internet that we have. Because remember, we are a data-driven society now, mm, all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And people have access to internet 24/7. At some point, some people needed to go to internet cafes,
yeah,
in order for them to just access internet. But we now have internet on the go,
yes,
privately, so with our phones and with our tablets and our laptops, where no one can disturb us. So, mm-hmm, you can only imagine that this number has risen exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
The most searched word or term on pornography between 2005 and 2013 mm-hmm. was teen. And that is heartbreaking.
My word.
And that is heartbreaking. So that is from people who are young mm-hmm. and people who are old.
Yeah.
So the target for most porn consumers
is teenagers.
Is the teen child. Is the teen girl predominantly. Remember we said most of the consumers of pornography, or we haven't come to that as yet, most of the consumers of pornography are men.
Mm.
And these are adult men, not kids.
So that means our teenage girls are in trouble.
Are in trouble. And you can only imagine the kind of thoughts that elderly men have towards children.
Yeah. Mm.
The children who are supposed to be their daughters. But the images that they've consumed, because I really doubt that someone after consuming the pornography will see my daughter as a daughter and not just an object. So it's so sad. The total searches for teenage-related pornography were reaching a daily search of around 500,000 daily. That's as a 2013, and it was greater than any other genre of pornography. So that not only poses a danger to our children, but it also brings to our attention the way that our kind of thinking is warped and corrupted.
Yeah.
So it becomes quite a daunting task to maintain our old adage that a village raises a child.
It's no longer a village.
It's no longer a village.
Because we've got pedophiles in there.
And predators who are just waiting to pounce on the opportune time. So it becomes very difficult. Then at that time as well, around 2013, in the United States alone, that was during the time of DVDs, surprisingly, they would produce 400 DVDs per week.
Per week.
Of pornography.
Oh my word.
And remember, when they populate these DVDs, it's not the amateur people who do not know what they're doing. This is the well-funded, that which is in the mainstream, which would find its way on the main websites.
Yes.
This is what they found, that 400 DVDs were produced per week.
Yeah.
So now when you consider that people produce content in the comfort of their own home.
Yeah.
That they post on whatever platform,
This
number is just a drop in the ocean. Mm. Because remember, we're talking about 400 in the States alone.
Mm.
In America, in South Africa, I remember there was a time when there was an actual movie that was produced and directed by people locally.
Yeah.
And that's in South Africa. Mm-hmm. Speak of Hollywood, Bollywood, speak of Nigeria. Those countries are rising quite significantly in the film industry. And also, it does not exclude the pornography. So this is what was in the past.
Yeah.
And you can only imagine how bad and terrible it is at this point in time.
I'm actually looking at a statistic as we were talking.
Mm-hmm.
Per month, South Africa is sitting at, and I'm not going to mention the websites, but the highest viewed website in South Africa per month is about 42 million per month. And the mobile shares is about 39 million per month. That's close to half the population of,
in fact, exactly.
Above half the population. Not that half of the population of South Africa is consuming porn, but it just talks about the visits to the website.
Exactly. So we are living in a society that is highly sexualized.
Yeah.
Highly, highly sexualized. And the sad thing is our children are learning about sex not the conventional way where their parents or someone who is a relative lovingly exposes them with caution to specific things.
Mm-hmm.
But they are getting right into the brunt of it. mm-hmm. without any control.
Yeah.
And the worst thing is you see them walking on the streets and they look innocent.
Yeah.
But what they have in their minds mm-hmm. is just terrible.
Yeah.
And without proper upbringing, the next thing that they will do after watching this pornography is trying to act out the things that they have seen. And remember, back then we used to have mostly men who were consuming pornography, but girls are as well.
Yeah.
And they want to act out these things in the schools. And you will realize that every now and again there were tapes that were released about of children who are engaging in sexual activity in the school.
Yeah.
Some of them having videos leaked and getting to the point of committing suicide.
Yeah.
Why? Because they were exposed to these things and there wasn't any guidance to what they were going to encounter.
Mm.
So it really goes to show that our situation with pornography is more dire than we think it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just a few things that I want to point out as well
mm-hmm.
is pornography is not a safe space.
Yeah.
At all. Mm-hmm. Not in any way whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
82%
yeah.
of the top rated pornography scenes. So when you take what is perceived to be the best pornography movie,
yeah.
for the most part, they project aggression.
Yeah,
it's not done in a loving kind of environment where it's meant to project a wholesome sexual relation.
Yeah.
But there is aggression, and 70% of the occurrences, the man is the perpetrator of the aggression.
And let's put it, violence.
Mm-hmm. And also, the violence is directed towards a woman.
Yeah.
So already, some would say pornography to a great extent
mm-hmm.
is, it projects an abusive sexual relation.
Mm-hmm.
Only 9.9%.
Mm-hmm.
9% of the analyzed behavior contained kissing or loving or caressing or verbal compliments.
Mm.
So it goes to show that the loving kind of sex that projected in pornography is a drop in the ocean.
Yeah.
And yet the one that is violent, the one that has slapping, the one that has people tied up and
choking.
Made to do, yes, the choking and absurd and uncomfortable situations. Mm. That is what is consumed for the most part.
Mm.
And it focuses, pornography greatly focuses on male satisfaction.
Yeah.
There's no focus on the orgasm of the woman or her gratification.
Mm.
Everything focuses on what the man wants. He dominates what is being done on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And it also gives the impression that women are used as props in the scene. So the focus is the man needs to have gratification.
Mm.
And he is pretty much using a woman to achieve this, as opposed to the biblical concept of sex, which is supposed to be the two people having communion and having a bonding period. But rather, this is where things are done to another person.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, if one was to attempt these same things in a wholesome environment, that would be projected as abuse.
Mm.
Here is the sad thing. I remember I was listening on the radio to a therapist who was going through some of the things that she encounters while counseling people. Mm. She did note
mm-hmm.
that there were things that were done to people during sex.
Mm-hmm.
And as they were going through counseling,
These
things that were done to people were perceived, or rather, they were not perceived. They were actually signs
yeah.
of an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
So if someone came to the therapist and said, my spouse did this to me, that would be a red flag to say that your spouse is abusive. And more often than not, it would then be concluded and or rather established that that actually was an abusive relationship. But we are finding more and more that these things have now become part and parcel of what the younger generation perceive as a healthy sexual relationship. So we have degenerated from what we were supposed to be, and we are quickly getting even worse than animals, of which I would say we are insulting animals because they are more loving, perhaps, in their encounters.
And, you know, as we, I want us to define what porn is. And I'm getting the sense that you're saying God gave us the gift of sex.
Yes.
And as usual, the devil has found another way to destroy a gift that God has given us. And so porn is in essence the devil perverting a gift that God has given us.
So, I don't even know where to start. Simply put, that's the generic definition of pornography. It refers to sexually explicit media that are primarily intended to cause or bring sexual arousal to whoever views or consumes it. And it exists in many forms. That's pictures, videos, even literature, as in stories. And it, this also will include phone sex, where there are no pictures, but the things that people say are pornography. However, with the change in culture, as we become a woke society, there are certain things that are starting to fall away. So let me just draw a comparison between what you and I, without giving up our age, is what we grew up amongst and what we have now. So back in the day, we had a Playboy magazine. That was the height of pornography during our time. You had to go to a bookstore and have the guts to go and buy it. If someone was reckless, they would sell it to you because it was a no under 18. In the Playboy magazine, I remember they would have women who were dressed in their underwear. And as you flip through to the inner page, they would have bare-breasted women still with their underwear on. And as you get to the center of the book, they would have a center spread where there would be only one woman who would explicitly expose her genitalia. And they would have a scratcher surface there where you'd need to use something to scratch the surface so that it exposes the genitalia. That was pornography. And it was the height of pornography. When you looked at a Playboy magazine. Then they brought in another one called Hustler. Hustler depicted women who were naked right from the onset. And it was hardly available. Only a few people who had the opportunity to go out of the country would bring one in. Then it became worse. And at the time, Playboy became what they called soft porn. So here's what I want you to understand. It was still pornography. And at the beginning of it, people were still, the women would be, it was predominantly women. They would still be wearing their bras and their underwear. And it would graduate to something that is worse. But it was part and parcel of what was generally perceived as pornography. But now, we are living in a world where if there's an advert for tires, there'd be a lady in a lingerie. And is not perceived as pornography anymore. But if you trace 20 years back, that was not acceptable as it was viewed as pornography. So some of the some of the magazines like Playboy, they were soft in the pornography, but they ushered in another dispensation that was, or that is worse than what they brought in.
So let me get you right, Rodney. If I'm listening to you, you're saying psychologically porn just doesn't begin hardcore.
No, it does not.
It graduates. It starts off looking as almost as in, it's almost innocent because it's not innocent. And one then goes to a position where they say, I want something a bit stronger.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm. That is the biggest battle that people are fighting, even at this point, that it's perceived as something that is innocent.
Yeah.
It's perceived as something that you're free to do. The Constitution allows you to consume whatever information you want, whatever content that you want. But they don't give us a clear picture or a clear path where it leads.
Yeah.
Just like someone who is taking alcohol can start by people telling them, if you take just a glass, you're safe.
Yeah.
But they don't have control over you taking a glass every day.
Yeah.
But you get to a point where a glass just doesn't do it.
Yeah.
You no longer take beer, but you need something that is stronger for you to get your high. Same thing with pornography.
Mm.
The people who started with something that was normal, then they fell for something that they, that was more crude, that was more appealing to them, until they got to places where they would be even be ashamed to say, I consume this kind of content. Mm. So by definition, pornography is something that is sexual, that is put out there for the consumption of people. But I would like to believe that in the strictest sense of pornography, especially from a Christian perspective, there are people who are producing, I'll put it in quotes, pornography subconsciously or rather unaware that what they are doing is pornography.
Okay.
There are trends that are put on TikTok, that are shared on Facebook, that are not
godly
in any way,
not
by the slightest sense.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about it is sexual.
Yeah.
Everything about it is seductive. Mm-hmm. Everything about it is just vile.
Mm. It's not bringing glory to God.
It's not. It's not at all. And it's sad to say even Christians are getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
Dare I say, they are Christians.
Mm-hmm.
By Christians, let me even narrow down and say Adventists.
Mm-hmm.
Who have Instagram accounts that they are barely dressed in.
When you say that, I've actually become afraid of searching on Instagram because you want to search something, and the moment you hit the search button, there's a whole a gallery of people half dressed, and you're wondering. Yes. I just wanted to search something. Why do I have to see naked people?
It's that bad. It's that bad. Mm. It seems as though for you to sell anything, there has to be a sexual connotation to it.
Yeah,
I was talking to my wife the one day when we were driving. That there's a truck that we often come across. Excuse me, that sells it transports buns.
Yeah,
bread.
Yeah,
buns. And in their marketing on their truck, it says we sell the best buns, and they put literal buns on the behinds of people on a truck.
That's porn.
That's porn.
Yeah.
So it's those seemingly small things.
Yeah.
But the world knows that with the way that people consume porn, if you throw it, you draw attention. So if we can argue, we can bigger, but the fact that people spend millions and billions in advertising and their advertising has sexual connotations in it, they know it works.
Yeah.
They know it works. So whether we do it by design or by mistake.
Yeah.
Anything that is sexual is bound to attract attention. That is why when some of these celebrities, they want to launch a movie, they want to launch a clothing line, they want to launch, let's say, a book, they draw attention to their websites and to their Twitter or Instagram handles by releasing some kind of sexual escapade. Yes, you know, because then you attract attention. Then when people are there, they realize, oh, no, yeah, they're releasing a book, you see.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to Rodney Chivovo and we're talking about porn. And we've come to an understanding that porn is something that does not bring glory to the Lord. Porn is something that the devil has taken to pervert the gift of sex that God has given us. And we've also come to an understanding that 82% of porn that is produced is violent, is aggressive, and uses people as props rather than as people created in the image of God. And we'll be continuing this conversation with Rodney, so you want to stay tuned. Rodney, let's talk about how bad is porn in South Africa.
It is quite rampant. Like I was saying, we have stats that South Africa is ranked among the top 20 in porn consumption.
In the world.
In the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the world is a big place.
Yeah.
And to make it worse, we don't have the proper teaching on how we're supposed to navigate this thing, especially for our youth.
Yeah.
I'm yet to come across a place, maybe my search has not been that good, in the country generally, I'm yet to come across an organization or a platform where people who are addicted to pornography can go and get help. I was just looking in my research. Unfortunately, I didn't clip the quote. It was actually from News 24. Again, public information. You can look for it.
Yeah.
Where therapists were recording that we have more and more of teenagers who are coming to seek help because of addiction to pornography.
Yeah.
So we are living, as we say it, in overly sexualized environment where this idea of sex and pornography is glorified. But when our young people are addicted to it, there is no place where they can get help. So they are stuck. Some of them do not want to be in this situation anymore. They did what they did, and it's unfortunate that they are now in this predicament, but they need help. And they have no idea, where do I go? Remember, still it's perceived as something that is shameful. And we don't have these conversations with our children. So how does a daughter go to a father or to a mom and say, I'm addicted to pornography? They don't have that access to their parents in that manner. So we are now in a situation where we are in a conundrum of children who want to rid themselves of the situation, but they don't have places to do this. And to make it worse, the people who release sex tapes and they are on the streets doing all kinds and all sorts of things, they are glorified by society. And because they are glorified, they are the kind of models, role models, that the young people look up to. And that creates an escalating probability of disaster for our society. And unfortunately, I say this with caution, unfortunately, we are living in a society that gives the people the latitude to express themselves whichever way they're comfortable. But the sad thing is, the way that people would generally express themselves is carnal, when we come back to the Christian perspective. And it's not always what God requires. So there are people who will defend with their own lives the right for children and teens and even the elderly to have access to pornography.
Yeah.
And they will not in any way provide counseling or provide solutions to children who are stuck in this cycle, the spiral where they want to let go of this thing, but they always find themselves back again.
I want us to quickly talk about the effects of porn. And we're not going to be talking about the effects of porn as in what it does to a person, but I want us to talk about how the link between rape and porn. And in 2020, Interpol named South Africa as the rape capital of the world.
Okay.
And in 2024, we're talking about 7,500 South Africans are being sexually assaulted almost on a daily basis. And let's also look at the fact that there is the abduction of young girls and young women to be used in the production of porn movies. And for me, that's the biggest thing. Human trafficking. There's a lot of people who are... And the more you watch porn, it's as almost as if you are sponsoring human trafficking.
You know what? This is one of the things that are very difficult to delve into, especially when you take into account the nature of violation that pornography presents to the children. So I'm just trying to, because of time, we will not have a lot on it, but just to give you just a sneak peek into it. There was a study that was done in Germany of among children, or rather students in a fraternity at a university. Of the students, male students, if I may point out, male students who were consuming pornography, they alluded to the fact that if they had an assurance, a guarantee that they will not get caught, they would rape. Let me repeat that. So you have a group of young men who are at a university. Who are consumers of porn.
Thought of as highly educated.
Highly educated. If in their situation, the circumstances, they can see that there is no way anyone would identify me here, they would rape.
Wow.
That now speaks to the issue of our young ladies getting drugged in clubs, our young ladies getting violated when they are drunk,
kidnapped.
And they have no idea what happened. They kidnapped, they are exploited and violated, and then they're just dumped in places. That speaks to this thing where they are people who have got an intention to rape. And all that they need is the guarantee and the assurance that they will not get caught. And most of the serial rapists, if not all of them, who were interviewed in the United States. So a serial rapist is on rampage. They eventually get apprehended. And in their debriefing and interviews, many of them confirmed that they were consumers of pornography. So already it shows that pornography creates a certain mindset within people. And remember, men generally are stronger. And they are supposed to be the ones who protect the females. But they no longer do that. As they walk around, minding their own business, as it were, they are not just living their lives. They are looking for people to violate.
They're looking for prey.
They have become the predators. So people who consume pornography, it's sad that when we talk about these things, no one will own up and say, truly, I came. I'm not saying everyone who consumes pornography lands in the same situation, but I'm saying there are people who land in the situation. And because It's a shameful situation, a shameful circumstance that people find themselves in. They will not come out and say, I am the one who is constantly thinking about raping people. No one will raise their hand to that.
Yeah.
But many people will hurry to come and defend that there's nothing wrong with pornography. But there's no one who's going through the minds.
Mm-hmm.
I will repeat this again. Yeah. I had a friend
yeah.
who, when we were walking through town, We were high school buddies, so we lost contact. Then after some years, we bumped into each other again, and we started, you know, getting along, hanging out. I observed something about him when we were just walking through town, talking about just the general things that we would talk about as guys, random things. He would pose at almost every turn.
Yeah.
To comment about a girl that we would have passed, a woman that would have passed. Either he's going to talk about her breasts, either he's going to talk about her legs, either he's going to talk about her bums.
Yeah.
And he was not talking about that they're beautiful.
Yeah.
He was talking about the things that he would want to do to them.
Mm.
Right? And as young people, look, we were in the space where we were getting to notice women, and even the desires of sex were starting to get heightened. But already without even mentioning that I am a Christian, and I was a Christian at the time, I could tell that there's something that is wrong with my friend here.
Yeah.
And I could not place a finger at it. But as we got to interact, I then realized that he had a collection. Of pornography DVDs at the time.
Yeah.
Like he was, I'm talking about more than 10 DVDs of pornography. And at that point, I then realized this is where the problem is.
He's got a problem.
But it's one of the things that we never talk about.
Yeah.
We never get to know the reason behind all that. And that is what we are dealing with as a society.
Yeah.
And with the availability of pornography around the country, that is what we're dealing with in society. But we are not brave enough to stand and say this is wrong and we should not be having it.
I want us to talk as we approaching towards the end. I want us to you keep on saying society, and the church is part of society.
Yes.
Let's talk about this problem in the church, and how can we as a church help those? Because I was reading as we began, I said the Banner Group says 68% of men in the church consume porn, 55% of pastors in the church consume porn. So it means we have got a serious problem. And 35% of women in the church consume porn. And dare I say that this is inclusive of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
I think like I said, we do ourselves a disservice when we function under the premise that we are immune from these things. So when we paint a picture of how bad it is in society.
Yeah.
This also includes Christians.
Yes.
Because we live in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this also includes Seventh-day Adventists.
Yeah.
Because we also are in the world.
Yeah.
The exposure that the world at large has to pornography.
Yeah.
We have it.
Yeah.
And I think to some extent, the world is even safer than ourselves in the sense that, let me qualify my statement, in the sense that the world does acknowledge that there's pornography.
Yeah.
The world does acknowledge that people get addicted to this. The world does acknowledge that people struggle with this. But in our circles, there's no way that I can ever think that my daughter can be hooked to pornography. It's something that's unheard of.
Yeah.
And it's something that we don't even want to hear about.
Yeah.
So the worst thing is, we have our children who are struggling within our very own homes.
Yeah.
Sometimes we see the signs.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we we have a hunch that there's something wrong here.
Yeah.
But we do not dare confront it and investigate what the problem is.
Yeah.
One of the signs that researchers showed is pretty much picked up on children who are hooked on pornography.
Yeah.
Is them being stuck to their gadgets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And them not wanting anyone to touch their gadget.
Yeah.
And them trying by all means to confine themselves into places where there's no one else who has access. It's just them and their gadget. Mm-hmm. And how often do we see that?
Yeah.
And what guarantee do we have that when they confine themselves into those spaces, they are safe?
Mm.
So we have this fallacy that we are safe.
Uh-huh.
And yet it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
The same way that we have drunkards amongst ourselves as Adventists,
mm-hmm.
we have people who are hooked on pornography.
Yeah.
The day that we accept
yeah.
that the danger is lurking everywhere and it even threatens our very children, and we make the deliberate and intentional
mm-hmm.
resources to help them, then we would have started to fight against these things. Mm. As it is, our children are vulnerable.
Yeah.
Our children are stuck in it. Our children need help.
Mm.
But we are not even mentioning this within our faith circles.
And I want us to focus only on the children.
Mm-hmm.
Even the married people.
The married people.
Need help.
I remember. I remember. It was in a way funny,
mm-hmm.
But sad at the time. We were in church,
yeah,
and someone was presenting one in a blue moon, as it happens once in a blue moon. Someone was presenting about pornography, and the parents. It was a men's program. The parents requested that the younger boys, the teens, the early teens, mid teens, late teens, mid teens and early teens, leave the room.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was not for them.
Mm.
And they felt that it would not be good for the children to come to the realization that I, as their father, am struggling with the same thing that are struggling with.
Mm.
And yet, by my view, it goes to show that if my dad is struggling with this thing, and he needs help.
Yeah.
I also need to own up to the fact that I'm struggling with this thing, and both of us can get help.
Yeah.
So if we perceive ourselves as Mr. Superman who does not have any kind of problem,
mm-hmm.
it means our children perceive us as people who are perfect, who do not have any kind of weakness.
Yeah.
And how can they come to a perfect father to seek help over their imperfection? So we need to include, when we have these discussions, we need to include our young boys.
Yeah.
We need to include our young girls. If they have not yet encountered it, then forewarned is forearmed.
Yeah.
They already know that these things are coming. Because I remember there was a situation where one a student at an Adventist school was bringing pornography on the bus.
Yeah.
So they have access to it.
Yeah.
They bring these things to their schools.
Mm.
So if we don't talk about it and if we don't discuss it with them, they will be stuck in that cycle where they want to be free. When they are useless and they cannot do anything to affect the mind, by the way, they will have us to blame.
Mm.
I was in the home. They spoke about the spirit of prophecy,
but
they never addressed the pornography that I'm struggling with. They talked about baptism. I was baptized. Someone who's consuming pornography, and I lived my youth as someone who's consuming pornography, and I lived my adulthood as someone who's consuming pornography, and I never got help. So unless we start talking about it, unless we start in creating environments or spaces that are safe for us to deal with this, our children and even our adults will be in trouble without a place to get help.
Talking about that, can we simply say, let's pray pornography away amongst ourselves? And I deliberately use prayer because falling getting into pornography is a process. It starts off soft. It becomes hard. It gets to a hard core. It becomes, you lose track of time. You lose track of accountability and responsibility. You lose interest. If you're married, you lose interest in your spouse. And then we wake up one day as a church, oh, there's a sexual problem in the church. Let's pray, church. may you please help these brothers. Amen.
Aish.
Is that the way to approach it? And does it work?
My conviction is that no amount of prayer can take the place for duty.
Right.
What God has given us to do, what God has brought known to us. Praying pornography away for me is like praying an exam away.
Yeah.
Or praying that you pass an exam without studying.
Yeah.
There's work that we need to put in.
Right.
To get rid of this thing. That we need to be conscious and deliberate about.
Yeah.
So if we just say, let's pray about it. Pray and then do what? Because I'm going to go back to my pornography. We need to address, because there's some things that we need to teach people who are addicted to pornography.
Yeah.
How do they get rid of it?
Yeah.
There are certain voids that will remain from the exclusion of pornography that need to be filled with something. So unless people learn how to get rid of it, we can pray about it, but they will find their way back to it again. That's why I always constantly call it a spiral. That people, they circle, you have a day, 2 days free, then you find yourself back again. So we need to have a wholesome approach that includes spiritual life, that includes prayer. Yes, definitely. But it also needs to include counseling and other approaches that that required for us to go through the battle against pornography. So prayer, it has its place.
Yeah.
But it's not the only solution that we have. It's not the only approach. The same way that we cannot just pray about a failing marriage. We need to go for counseling and use other methods to go around it. That by other methods, I'm talking about things that are wholesome and still not contrary to what God has commanded. So the same thing, the same approach, we need it for pornography. So we cannot just pray it away. We need to have a deliberate approach to solutions.
Right. Rodney, let me ask you this question. You you and I go to the same church.
Yes.
If one day we were to wake up as a church and say, Rodney, we need to deal with pornography within our church. And I'm putting you on the spot here. What kind of program or tools would you come up with? Just in general, I'm not asking for something in detail.
I think first of all, it's a focus group.
Yeah.
Where we can have our discussion. So the first thing that we need is to acknowledge that we have the problem. So when we talk about things as a focus group, that would be the first place. Then someone who is a good counselor would definitely be something that I would consider. And fortunately, in most spaces, like in our church, we have our pastor, we have our elders who are able to interact with not only the youth, but the elderly as well. People that you can talk to about this issue. So I believe that the first solution to this problem is having someone that you can have a heart-to-heart with and alert them to the fact that I have this problem, and maybe someone that you can make a commitment to that I want to overcome this problem. And that gives you a burden even as you go along. Then we can also have other activities. We go for walks. We go for exercises. We go for other things that help to take the mind off these things. We even have other kinds of content that we can use to fill the voids that we were talking about that are created. Because most of the times, you realize that people who consume pornography, it's because during that time, they have nothing to do. So when we teach each other what we can do in place of these things. So for me, that would be a starting point. But look, I'm not an expert.
Yeah.
There's always room for us to research into it. Mm. How best can we navigate this? Can we find specialists who can help us to explore other avenues that help us to win ourselves from this predicament that we find ourselves in?
Would you go to the extent of challenging churches to actually do a research and not wait for the conference, do a research on how they can set up a department that actually looks at this?
I believe it's something that is imperative.
Mm-hmm.
If we have not started, the best day to start is today.
Yeah.
And now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, look, much as we might not want to admit, much as it might be unpleasant, this problem is there in the church already.
Yeah.
So if we start now, we're already starting to build a better future for our children.
Mm.
And we also create an environment where they can start dealing with it. Because
remember,
we're saying it's already there.
Yes.
So we need to start dealing with. And the conference, it's a big place.
Yeah.
It will take time.
Yeah.
But at a local church,
mm-hmm.
we can create, like you're saying, a department within the youth that ventures into these addictions, whether it be drugs, whether it be pornography, whether it be alcohol, already for children to start approaching someone that they trust and say, look, this is my situation and I want to deal with it.
Mm. Now, Rodney, we had an ambassador camp recently, and we invited you to come in and speak to our ambassadors. That's the ages of 16 to 21. And you came in, you spoke, and even up to yesterday when we were talking to the ambassadors, the conversation that you had with them is still at the back of their minds.
Yes.
They're still talking about it, and some even confessed to being addicted to porn. And my question is driven to the fact that we've got people like you, and I'm not shooting you, but I'm saying we've got people like you who've taken time to research. How come we don't have this information tailor-made from an Adventist point of view?
Mm-hmm.
When you go in and search this information that will help us overcome these things, mm-hmm. how come we're not getting people writing up and putting it up so that it's accessible to whoever wants to? And I know we've got covenant eyes, we've got all that stuff.
Yes.
But there's also the spiritual element that we need to infuse.
Yes.
How come, and I asked this question because I was listening to one pastor, he says, the moment you talk about these things, people start looking at you and be like, so, why are we not getting content producers putting up this thing and helping, you know, our churches?
I think, from my perspective, is it's not exactly cheap to gather information.
Yeah,
that's the first thing.
Yeah,
so it needs to be funded.
Yeah,
right.
Mm.
So, and we don't, as far as I know, have a budget that is focused on that trajectory.
Yeah,
we have funds for evangelism.
Mm.
We have funds for other activities, but there are some things that we, I don't know if we have a fund for drug abuse.
No.
That focuses on children getting help for that.
No.
Or even adults getting help for that. I've never heard about it. So it's issue of finance. Then it's us oblivious to the extent to which it's affecting us.
Mm.
We are quiet.
Mm.
We are silent.
Mm.
When we start having the conversation and people realize that it's safe to speak about it here, then everybody will start coming in and saying, this is what we're facing. So it's one, we just have not had the conversation often enough, and we have not put in place resources to tackle this issue. So it's an issue of resource, then it's an issue also of just lack of focus on, into the matter, and lack of attention and interest into the matter. That's how I see it. Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was just a brief introduction into the challenge of pornography. We're still going to have more conversations with Rodney. We'll be bringing in a health specialist, and I'll also be bringing in somebody who recovered from pornography and has now established a ministry, a married person who has now established a ministry, especially for those that are married, on how to overcome pornography. So we're going to look at the physical effects. We're going to look at the mental effects. We're going to look at how did you even get there. We're going to look at how does one even get out of that challenge, and how, and as Rodney alluded to, what do you fill the void with?
Yes.
If you've now over, if you've now left pornography, what do you what are the triggers for you to get into pornography or to relapse? We're going to look at all these things, because it's a problem. Something that we are very embarrassed to talk about. But right here on the Adventist World Radio, we're not embarrassed to talk about the problem. and so, Rodney, we're definitely going to have you come back, because I've listened to your presentations, and I know for a fact that today you just touched on the surface.
Yes,
you didn't
yes.
even go deeper into the physical effects of these things.
Yes, yes.
So we just want to say thank you for coming through to the Adventist World Radio, and ask you to pray for us in closing.
Okay, thank you for having me. Let us pray. Our kind of loving Father, we thank you for the privilege that you've afforded us, Lord, again, to speak about this difficult topic. Lord, you know our struggles. You know our daily battles. And you have given us power to overcome.
Yes.
Sometimes we don't expend the resources that we have rightfully.
Yeah.
And we pray, Lord, for wisdom. There are certain things that we think we are immune to.
Yeah.
And yet we realize, just according to the statistics that we find in the world, that, Lord, we are not safe.
Yeah.
How we pray, Father, that you can give us the wisdom, how we can overcome, and help us, Lord, to create a safe environment where we can speak about this and be overcomers. For at the end of it, if we have overcome, we'll be able to go and spread the word in season and out of season. Give us the wisdom, Lord, how to navigate the murky waters of being politically correct. And Lord, give us how we can overcome the challenges that are posed by this highly sexualized society that we're living in. At the end of it all, Lord, we pray that you may find us waiting for you, pure and blameless, without having any sin or guile that is hidden within our hearts and in our minds. When all is said and done, the greatest desire and our longing is that we be numbered among those that are found worthy to enter the pearly gates of heaven. For this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, who died for us on the cross of Calvary. Amen.
Amen.